to say what I feel. Miami has so much appeal. A great place to get a seafood meal. Miami. Miami, Miami, you've got style.
Picture it, Los Angeles, 2019.
Welcome to Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you're ever going to need to listen to. I am H. Alan Scott.
And I'm Carrie Doherty.
And this is a podcast where we watch an episode of The Golden Girls and then we talk about it.
And we just watched season 7, episode 25, One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest, part 1, which aired May 9th, 1992, and was watched by 27.2 million people.
Say it's not so!
We have...
It's over!
We have reached the penultimate episode.
It's second to over! It's almost over!
I know.
The madness is about to stop!
I know.
The voices!
I know.
In your heads. I think about it, guys. After the next episode, because this is a two-part episode, after the next episode, I mean, you'll hear me whisper again, but not in the same context that I whisper here. Like, I don't, like, it's going to be different.
Do you know how many times you've said the words, this is a podcast where we watch an episode of the girls, of the Golden Girls, okay, and then we talk about it?
You say that. Now ask the question, how many times have I said it correctly?
Of the Golden Girls.
Because literally every episode is me saying it in the most obnoxious, ridiculous way, and Carrie being a 100% professional.
Mm-hmm. But I enjoy it. I feel like I'd like to hear a supercut sometime. Of...
It's like yin and yang. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I'm Regis and you're Kathy Lee, and you're mm-hmm. like trying to keep the show going, and everyone's like, but Regis is crazy.
I'm Abbott, you're Costello.
Are you calling me fat?
No, I'm calling you Costello because Abbott.
Oh, is he the skinny
one? No, but Abbott. Bud Abbott was the kind of the straight man, and Costello was.
Are you calling
Lou
me
Costello
straight?
Was no, I'm calling myself straight. Lou Costello was like the unpredictable wild card.
But was he the fat one?
Yeah.
See, you're calling me fat.
No, I'm not.
It's fine. Let's get to the podcast.
Do you know, so this episode, I was looking up some trivia. This episode won an Emmy Award for Outstanding Technical Direction / Electronic Camera Work / Video Control for a series. I did not know that that was an Emmy category.
They have categories for a lot of things. No, this you know, the only two actors, I mean, I've said this a lot, but the only two actresses that were nominated in the last season were Betty White and Estelle Getty.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
Yeah.
I mean, Dorothy had clocked out. I mean, she was getting on
for
the bus.
For some reason, I heard Dorothy had clocked, and I was ready for Dorothy had chlamydia. I don't know why.
Wow.
And then my mind was like, oh, well, maybe that's why she wasn't giving as strong as a performance, but then that's also unfair.
I don't think chlamydia would affect her performance, because she's a professional. She's like you.
Yeah.
Whereas chlamydia...
Are you saying I have chlamydia?
Yes.
See how I turn that around on you?
Yes. Chlamydia would affect my performance, because I would tell everyone, guys, I have chlamydia. I can't work today. When in reality, I could.
Of course.
Because there's ointments and creams and pills for that.
Things. Well, we just did a really fun Facebook Live.
We did.
Where we talked to people. If you guys weren't part of it, but you want to watch it, you can go to facebook.com/GoldenGirlsPod.
A little recap. We just asked questions and we talked about the future of Out on the Lanai. We're not going anywhere, but the podcast, since we are done recapping the episodes, mm-hmm. that has to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not the end of Out on the Lanai. There will be... sporadic episodes when Golden Girls pertinent news pops up.
Yeah.
In addition to live shows and things, the creature that was created from the podcast, Sadie Pines, mm-hmm. that will continue on in Out on the Lanai related fashions.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah.
I mean, Sadie Pines.
So there's all kinds of creature, and we'll still continue. Guys, you want to stay subscribed to us on Facebook and on Twitter and on our Instagrams and things, because we're still going to be posting about Golden Girls things.
Absolutely.
We're still going to be talking with you, engaging with you. We're still going to be obsessing over all the new Golden Girls news that comes out.
I know. It's 2019. The show ended in 1995. It's still relevant now. It'll still be relevant a year from now, 5 years from now. So we got to keep talking about it.
And we run in very golden circles. So you never know when a random special episode with like Elliot in Alaska will drop or a special guest from someone who worked on the Golden Girls. You never know what's going to happen.
Plus, I feel like we've slowly been weaning you guys off of releasing episodes every week, then every other week. And now we've been doing like every other month or so.
Well, because we've intentionally not wanted to get to this day.
I know. I know. It's like putting off a dentist appointment. We've had like a toothache for a while and we've just been putting it off and putting it off.
Yeah.
And now we have an abscess and it's poisoned our blood. And now we have sepsis.
Oh, wow. Maybe that's what I have, because I've been putting off going to the dentist for a while. I needed an excuse and you've given me one now.
Yeah, you don't want sepsis. You don't want to.
What are the symptoms?
Well, if you have a really, 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 really bad toothache, it could be an infection.
I don't have a
bad you've
toothache.
Just been putting off going to the dentist?
Yes.
Then why did you ask me what the symptoms were?
Because, you know, you're afraid.
Sure. Yeah. You have a really, really bad toothache. You want to go to the dentist.
Nothing hurts except for, you know.
Your heart?
Yes.
Mine does too. I'm very sad. We just ordered Chipotle.
That's going to be great. We should order cheesecake, but neither of us really like cheesecake. But did you know at Outback they have a special?
No, what do you mean neither one of us? I adore cheesecake.
Oh, I'm not a huge fan, but if you go to Outback, they have a special where you can get a starter salad, a meal, and a cheesecake for $14.99.
That seems like a pretty good deal.
I mean, depending on what you get. I get the chicken on the Barbie, and that's $14.99.
Let's catch people up with, you know, it's been like a month and a half since we've talked to everybody. Should we tell everybody what's been going on in our personal lives before we jump into the episode to continue pushing off the end of this podcast for a few more minutes?
Sure. Yeah, nothing much has changed with me, but yeah, please go ahead.
No.
What?
Things are happening.
What has changed with me?
Guys, I saw this documentary the other night.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had a first screening.
Called Latter Day Jew.
I forget everything I do.
And it was fantastic, and I cried like three times.
Did you cry?
I did cry.
I love that my mother got an applause break.
Yeah, your mother got an applause break.
My mom really is the star of the movie. Like, even though the film.
Kathy, you're the star.
The documentary is about me and my journey from Mormonism to Judaism and the bar mitzvah and going to Israel and all the shits. My mother is truly the star, both in terms of the heart and the humor. Mm-hmm. I think she's funnier than me.
She's great. I now know where you get your funny from.
No, it's good. It's a good film. So it will be, I mean, if you're listening to this currently, it will be in festivals soon. And hopefully if you're listening to this in a year from now, you can just stream it on whatever platform that it's streaming on. So go to latterdayjew.com. And then I've been doing Sadie. That's about it. Sadie Pines. Mm-hmm. Lots of fun things happening with Sadie Pines. That's all I can say. She looks great. Mm-hmm. There are shows. There are things. There are wonderful things. Follow her. Love her.
Yep. Sadie Pines, who is an extension of Out on the Lanai.
It's true. She really was birthed from Out on the Lanai. She's a Golden Girls related name. The name came from Jeremy, Alaska's music partner.
Mm-hmm.
And Alaska and Jeremy named her, basically. And she's kind of she's not full Golden Girls, but like she's constantly inspired and living up to the Golden Girls standards of living goldenly.
Yep.
Not in a pee way, but in like a love way.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's great. You should follow her because things are happening with her.
She stays golden always.
In the clean way.
Yeah. Chlamydia.
What about you?
Guys, I am getting married in a week and a half.
Okay, can
to
we
stand.
Talk about how both of our love journeys on this podcast. So we went from being alone and
sad. We were
sad.
So alone when we met.
We were alone and sad,
we're
and you
so
were
alone.
Pining after one guy. I remember you were really upset about one dude shortly after we started the podcast. And then when you met Stan on the show you were working on, because he works on that show, you were like, I don't know. I don't know if I should. And I was just like, sit on the D. What is your problem? Sit on the motherfucking D. And you were like, I don't know. I mean, we work together and it's just such a, I don't know. I think we could even go back to an episode.
I'm sure we could.
There's a moment on the episode, probably second season, I think.
Or the end of the first season. Maybe
somewhere there where I think I probably am persuading you to just like touch the D. And you're getting married to the D.
I'm getting married to marrying Stan. I'm going to wear a toilet paper roll dress and get into a limo. And
I love that.
No, we're going to the Santa Barbara County Courthouse.
You don't want the fans to stalk you. Don't say that.
You don't know when I'm going.
See, that was a flashback to season one when you kept telling me not to mention where I live because right. people might stalk me. And I was like, Carrie, you completely have overestimated my importance to people.
Same.
And no one has stalked me. But I have actually, I take that back. There have been some crazy people who listen to the podcast who I have ran into. Not you're wonderful if you're listening now, but, you know, boundaries. The walking down the street here, mm-hmm. I've told you some of these encounters on the subway, et cetera, where, some people they want to touch.
Oh, interesting.
And not just in like, I want to hug you, but in like I want to touch your backside and then slowly touch other parts
Whoa.
Of your body. And it gets a little uncomfortable.
Chlamydia.
So you guys are fine. Thank you for listening. Just, you know, just respect my consenting boundaries.
Yeah. I think it's okay to ask somebody even to give a hug.
I hug everybody. I'm a big hugger.
I'm a big hugger too.
If you see me and you love the Golden Girls, mm-hmm. please give a bitch a hug. Just like don't try to touch my butt.
Should we dive into the series? That feels like a pretty good
Yeah, because step Dorothy's butt is touched. I mean, we didn't see it, but we assume it was.
Yeah.
Because she's getting married to this man.
She's getting married. I adore Leslie Nielsen. Here's what I'm going to say about this episode and about Leslie Nielsen. The storyline is the idea that Dorothy falls in love so quickly in this episode. Like, it would normally be very jarring for me, but I think because Leslie Nielsen was such a charming man, eyes, I feel like when he looks into Dorothy's mm-hmm. eyes, I feel like he's looking into my soul.
He's a really...
And I love him.
He's kind of a Tom Hanks in that he has... That's Tom Hanks driving by right now.
Yeah, on his motorcycle.
He's a Tom Hanks in that no matter what role he's playing, because he was a serious actor for a long period mm-hmm. before Airplane. And the Naked Gun movies and stuff. But he has this ability to come off as so authentic, mm-hmm. even in the most absurd or serious things he's doing. And I think that's the mark of not so much a great actor, I don't think, but like a true personality who yeah. can turn that charm into his performance. And he does that in this
yeah,
really well.
That casting was so on point.
So on point.
So on point.
Yeah. I wonder, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I heard rumors somewhere that they did not get along.
Really?
But I maybe could
So we're
be
talking
wrong
like
that.
A Jennifer Grey, Patrick Swayze, Dirty Dancing situation.
I didn't know that either, but yeah. her nose job is amazing.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I think Jennifer Grey was beautiful before. I think Jennifer Grey is beautiful now. I do think that she looks very different, and I think she recognizes that she looks very different.
Like, I think it was actually hard for her
to deal with that for a while.
She's evolved. It's like Renee Zellweger. She's evolved. Let her live. Let her evolve. Yeah. Embrace it. I want all the plastic surgery. Poke it, tuck it, pinch it, love it.
I love that. You should have a bumper sticker that says that.
I will. I'll turn it
Poke
into a song.
It, touch it.
Pinch it, love
pinch
it.
Pinch it, love it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Poke it, tuck it, pinch it, love it.
I think that's a Sadie Pines.
Can you hear the back techno beat to it? Poke it, touch it, live it, love it.
Is that what techno sounds like to you?
I think so. I don't hear music. I don't really like music.
Okay, wow, you just did a full 180. Blanche's pink and purple nightie at the beginning of this episode. Like, she's wearing this, like, pink satin nightgown with this sheer kind of white, like, robe over it. You know me, I love it whenever Blanche flows like a Civil War era ghost into a room.
I wonder if Rue McClanahan came into the wardrobe meeting for this last episode and was like, y'all, I need...
Rue McClanahan is not Southern.
She would talk like in her character because she's method.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Do go on.
Duh.
Do go on.
Y'all, I need to pull out all the stops in this episode. I want everything flowing. I want it tight, though. When it needs to be tight, I want it tight. When it needs to flow, I want it to flow. I want to walk through the room and have people see me like I'm a bird.
I like to think that Rue McClanahan was already starting to like pack the wardrobe up and like bring it home.
It's because, in her contract. She doesn't have to pack anything.
Well, no, I know, but she probably has to wait until the show is technically over, because later in a scene, she's straight up wearing jeans. And I'm like, whoa, Blanche like rarely wears jeans. No. And I feel like it's because she'd taken all the other clothes home.
That's funny. I actually think, because in the early 90s, because this was 92, and in the early 90s.
95.
What?
This was 1995.
What was?
Oh my gosh, this show ended in 1992, not 1995.
Yeah, where are you?
I don't even know.
1995 was when Friends came on the air.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Oh, 94 was when Friends
94.
Came on.
94. Gosh, I said 1995 earlier. Please nobody tweet at me and tell me.
I wasn't even paying attention.
Oh, I'm supposed to be the one with the facts. I'm drinking. Go ahead.
We are drinking. I do think that in the early 90s, there was this thing of like, you know, you had Step by Step, you had Family, they step all were wearing these step, like denim, like jeans, like casual wear. Like no one was really dressing up anymore. And the Golden Girls, they constantly were essentially done up in every episode. Even though it was casual clothes, they looked like they were going to like a Sunday dinner or something. So Blanche wearing jeans is sort of a part of that early 90s sort of like, let's normalize everyone.
Yeah.
Put them in jeans. Stop putting them in skirts.
Oh my gosh. I can see Suzanne Summers in so many gorgeously tight high-waisted jeans.
Yep.
With like a pair of like yellow suede flats and that crimped hair.
And I do think that was a thing of the early 90s. Mm. You had Blossom. You had all these shows that like, it was like casual wear. Adults weren't needing to dress up. Huxtables didn't need to wear sweaters and khakis anymore. Yeah. Like, you didn't need any of that.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah.
So, so Blanche has a conundrum.
What is she going to do?
Big Daddy's baby brother Lucas isn't town, and she's supposed to hang out with him, but she has a date.
He is too young to be Big Daddy's younger brother.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
It doesn't make sense, because they're not far off in age. I mean, they are, I think, literally in real life, but like, based on appearances, they did not. They look like siblings.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't look much older than them. But she's trying to figure out what to do, and she's talking to Rose and Sophia, and she's like, they're like, you know, your uncle's in town, like, you know, you can kind of go on a date anytime. And she's like, you know what? You're right. Family you can see anytime, but a one night stand only happens one night.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's so great. So she needs to dump her Uncle Lucas onto someone.
Do you think that the setup for this storyline is a little bit forced? I've always thought that the first episode of the two-part ending episode, the way they got to Dorothy and Lucas actually getting engaged, the for real, the second time, everything before that I always was like, this just feels like a really forced, rushed storyline to try to get to the actual engagement so that the story can move and Dorothy has to move out. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't, the whole idea of Blanche putting her uncle with Dorothy and then them wanting to get back at Blanche and having this whole romance. I mean, it just seemed so not like what Dorothy would do.
It didn't bother me. I kind of liked it. It's really funny because basically Dorothy falls in love while hashing a revenge scheme against one of her best friends. Like, it's kind of so perfect for Dorothy, like, because Dorothy, I mean, I think what's fun is that we've seen Dorothy kind of pull this prank stuff before, you know, when her best friend, Trudy, is in town and, you know, she pretends to sleep with
her
husband.
She had a Southern accent, but she's
from Brooklyn. Sure. Yeah. You know, so it is kind of sweet that this, like, unexpected thing comes out of it. I do think that They definitely, I feel like, were putting it on for a really long time, to the point where, like, the women were sitting up at night being like, where are we going to live? And Sophia wasn't sure what was going to happen to her. And I'm like, all right, you guys probably should have told them by now that you were just messing around. I feel like in real life, as soon as you go, like, as soon as you have the moment where Leslie, Uncle Lucas is like, will you marry me? And she says yes. And Blanche is like, oh, no, no, no. You'd be like, haha, we were just joking. But then, like, they just left, and they left the women at home to sit and think about their fate and where they were going to live. And
yeah, it's a lot.
Why did why were the women all of a sudden, like, all of a sudden Rose was like, oh, I'm going to have to move out? And, like, why did the women think that they couldn't continue to live with Blanche?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it did feel, I mean, I know why they did that, so that everything could feel ganged up on Blanche, and Blanche could have a meltdown over everything that's happening so unexpectedly and mm-hmm. going wrong, not according to plan. But I do think, I mean, I don't know how much time passed between when they hatched the plan and when they got engaged for real?
3 days.
Was it 3 days? Mm-hmm. So 3 days is not that much time. I mean, I don't respond to emails for at least a week. So, like, it's not that much time.
Right,
days.
But at the same time, they're not getting any younger.
That's evil.
Yeah.
You just went in the evil, like, place that I usually go to.
Remember when Dorothy brought home Weekend at Bernie's from the Beatlemania, and she got all swept mm-hmm, up in that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I feel
but
like
that was
Dorothy,
a dream episode.
No,
wait, no, that
it
was
wasn't.
The,
that was Sonny Bono.
Yeah,
that was
you're right.
Episode.
That was Sonny Bono.
I feel like Dorothy can get swept up in things. You
I mean,
know,
God
remember,
bless her. I'm
remember
about
when
it.
Mr. Gordon came.
Well, that wasn't being swept up. That was a lifelong crush
true.
That she had. I just feel like I do think that this is something. It is plausible for them to get engaged and to fall in love. I get that. That doesn't surprise me. But
we should tell everybody that as you're speaking, you are dramatically waving a gorgeous iridescent fan.
We have to turn off most of the fans, and so I need to somehow give myself some
air. Is that
bamboo?
It's gorgeous.
It does work.
Yeah.
It does work. I feel very
it's
good.
Lovely.
And it's also a statement, like, I'm perfect.
You are reclined, lying back. Like, you just need two shirtless men and loincloths just shading you with a large
I'm
fern.
Sure there'll be a photo shoot someday with
yes.
Sadie in this exact
I
position
love that.
Doing this.
When Blanche tries to talk Dorothy into going out with Uncle Lucas, first of all, I love that Dorothy comes out wearing her Big Bird bathrobe.
Yes.
And Blanche goes, oh my God, is that Dorothy or Miss Lana Turner emerging from her morning toilette?
Toilettes.
Oh, Blanche.
Oh, she's so extra.
And Dorothy, even though she's never met Uncle Lucas, definitely does not want to go out with him because she assumes he's just like a Southern hick who wipes his jug on his sleeve before he passes it. Mm.
I mean, that is not far off from what we've seen with a lot of Blanche's relatives and situations. I mean, her big daddy was classy, sure, but he was also kind of trash.
How dare you speak so ill of the dead?
Let's be real, people. He was trash.
Who do you think made the reservation at Don's Cracked Crab?
Oh, I think that was definitely Blanche, because Blanche is one of those women that she looks amazing, she wants amazing men, but she will go down to really bad standards just for the sake of getting the D.
You know what? I like to think that Blanche... So Don's Cracked Crab...
has been the restaurant in basically the entire series of the Golden Girls.
Yeah,
well,
but I don't know
few
that
seasons.
That's... So I think there was... that wasn't the name of the place that Sophia worked at where she was a pirate, but...
No, but that was the place that Saul worked at when... Saul, I don't know if Dorothy was on the date then... But Blanche took the cute guy, the cute caterer. What's his name?
Well, Jake. That was Jake's restaurant.
Was it Jake's restaurant?
Yeah, and that's actually what it reminded me of. So I wonder if, I don't know, what is Jake's restaurant Don's Cracked Crab? Was Blanche hoping to go there with Uncle Lucas and see Jake and make him jealous the way she did when she took out Swin that one time?
That would be such an epic full circle moment for Blanche to then also finally marry Jake.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I would love to see that. And Blanche in season 7 looks much younger than when she dated Jake in season whatever. So, like, she looks good. She could get Jake now. She looks better than Jake now.
If, oh my God, can you imagine if we were watching this episode and we just saw Jake walk by in the background of that episode, then we would know for sure that that's what Blanche's plan was. But she got sidetracked by a one-night stand.
Die. And that's her problem with Jake, too. She got sidetracked by thinking that she needed more when she didn't.
Yep.
She just needed that weird nose tattoo man.
Yeah. Didn't like that, but that's fine.
It gave him charm.
I do love at the beginning of this scene, a lot of the humor relies on the moments where no one is speaking, where mm-hmm. Lucas and mm-hmm. Dorothy are just kind of sitting there.
They're awkward. They don't like each
other. They're so awkward. Well, they feel like they have nothing in common. Like, have you ever been on a date or anything where you just have nothing to talk about?
Mm-hmm. It's every day with Michael. Yeah.
How dare you?
Every day.
No, it's not.
Every day.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's most days.
I remember one time. You're so, he's the best. You he's better
sitting,
be nice to him.
He's sitting right over there making Sadie a dress. And yeah, I'm talking shit on him. Oh, well.
He's the best.
Yes, he is.
I remember one time being at a pool hall with like my roommates when I lived in Brooklyn. And the super cute guy came over and started like asking me if I wanted to play pool. And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was like, so what do you do? And I was like, I'm a writer. What do you do? And he was like, math. And then we just didn't talk for the entire game.
Yeah. Elliot has a thing. I mean, I can't, I honestly, isn't it weird after like getting with someone, you kind of forget some of your really bad dates? Because in perspective, you're like, well, it all worked out for me.
Yeah.
But there, Elliot told me a story once about how when he's on a date with a truly bad, like, vapid person, he's gotten to the point now where he will just be like, so do you want to ask about me?
And amazing.
I love the audacity of that, because I don't think I would ever do that. But I love that
good
he does
him.
That. Yeah, I love that he does that.
Oh, that's so funny.
Isn't it?
That's so great. I love
but
that.
But yeah, so Dorothy and Lucas were not having it. They were just kind of bored with each other. But you could also tell, too, that there was something there where they were comfortable with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, once they both realize that, you know, Blanche talked up the other one to them, and they realized that Blanche
Brooklyn
had kind of
Italian.
Set this whole... Yeah, once they realized that Blanche had tried to set them up and that he didn't actually want to go out with her, she didn't actually go out with him, that's when they finally relaxed. I would love for somebody out there, especially for you, like Golden Girls artists, I'm going to call you guys out right now, to Mike Dennison or Kevin Kline.
No one's drawn us. Have
or
you noticed
Greg
that?
K. Robertson. If any of you guys are listening, the crab bib with the googly eyes. Like,
oh,
I
yeah.
want to see a t-shirt that has actual googly eyes on it that is the crab bib, because I feel like that would be such a deep meta Golden Girls
also,
cut.
I would also love us immortalized in some way, because people do like Golden Girls fan art, which is great, and I love that and I support that. But I see all these other podcasts where people are like animating the host, and we have an amazing animation of us as our logo, of course. But I think other people should draw us.
You want to be drawn?
I want to be drawn.
Like one
like
of
one
your
French
girls. You're literally, you're going to be lying
it's
completely.
It's been a busy day.
I know, but you are. Don't fall asleep
day.
On me,
I'm
guys.
Not, I will certainly not fall asleep. Michael can attest, I can be so energetic on my back.
He is almost completely reclined on the couch right now. I'm
with
so
a
worried
fan.
He's going to fall asleep.
I will not fall asleep, although you did bring wine.
I did. Let's see. Oh, there. I'm going through these moments.
So then when they bring the crabs, or was it crabs?
Yes.
Or lobster? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. They bring out crabs. It's a crab shack.
I mean,
it's
but
crab
I'm
place.
Sure they sell lobster.
Yeah, sure.
But when they bring the crabs, they dump them on the table, and then Dorothy's like, "Oh, look, this
scrunched
little one,
scrunched up little frown,
this little scrunched up frown. It looks like Ma."
It
smashes
is great.
It. Sorry if that was
the
loud.
The timing of that, of Dorothy hitting
the thing. It was perfect.
So
and the
perfect.
Crowd went wild.
They did go wild. So the next morning, Dorothy is like over the moon, like recapping her date. And she's like, oh, you know, well, even if I never talk to him again, we'll always have Don's Crab House. And Sophia goes, Ingrid Bergman had Paris. My pussycat has crabs. The fact that they were able to like worked out so perfectly. I feel like they wanted to make a My Pussy Has Crabs joke on the Golden Girls forever.
Yeah.
And this was the finale. This was the time to do it.
Let's get a pussy joke in there.
It was so great. It was great on two levels because of that.
I always want a pussy joke.
So then Lucas comes by with flowers, and Blanche thinks that they are for her, but they're not. They're for Dorothy. And this is sort of, we didn't even mention. I mean, you guys know what happens, but once Dorothy and Lucas realize that Blanche has played them, they say that they want to freak Blanche out by pretending that they're going to get married.
Yeah, that's the plan, is that, and Dorothy's all about it.
Yeah.
I...
It feels like a weird, I don't know, it feels very forced to me. But whatever, we established that.
Like I said, to me it feels very much in character with Dorothy because we know she loves to pull pranks.
Yeah.
Sound
off on the face page if you agree with one of us.
Yes. Yeah, let us know. So then Lucas goes to Dorothy and he's like, you know, I haven't felt this way. Da 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 da. Will ya? And Rose is like, I think he's going to ask her out again. And then the crowd laughs and Dorothy looks back at Rose and shoots her a look. And this has happened a few times on the show where you can tell Dorothy, where B. Arthur as an actor really
hams
really
it up.
Really soaks up those moments where
it goes back to her Broadway days where you could tell that because she's such an expressive person that sometimes her expressions get her the laugh. It isn't so much what she says, it's how she reacts.
Right.
And
she looks back at Lucas and he's like, what? And then she looks back at Rose and she gets another laugh and she just really draws it out. It's my favorite moment of the episode.
Like we were talking about Leslie Nielsen earlier, to me, the perfection of Bea Arthur is her ability to understand her body and her face in a way that I don't think a lot of actors do. Because I don't think, very rarely can an actor do that, get a laugh line out of a weird expression.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she does it.
She does it.
On a show, from an audience, I mean, what's so funny is she's getting this laugh line. Like, we take take for granted that here we are, we're watching this. Most shows don't have live studio audiences now. It's all filmed, whatever. So, like, that moment that you see Dorothy do this double take look and get laughs doesn't happen on television anymore.
Well, some shows do still have live studio audiences,
yes, of course.
Like Big Bang Theory, but a lot of the multicams.
It's very rare, and I don't think Big Bang or anything allowed the actors to play in the way that Golden Girls did and had the brilliance of someone like Bea Arthur playing in that way and getting a laugh line like that. Because the audience didn't see her face. They're far away.
They're
hundreds
of
feet away. They have screens, of course.
They have monitors.
But, like, they're far away, and she's getting a massive laugh line out of this. That's huge.
It's pretty remarkable. So then Lucas asks Dorothy to marry him, and she says yes. And Blanche's face,
Blanche,
wide eyes, just shaking her head like, no.
It's like someone saying that she's not a slut.
Yeah.
Literally.
I am too a slut. So that's the act break. But then that's sort of the moment where I feel like they could be like, okay, joke's over. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Maybe give it another few minutes. But then when we come back, Blanche is still flummoxed and she goes, I don't know what to say. And then Dorothy goes, whatever you decide, why don't you start with Aunt Dorothy? So good.
It's so weird that Dorothy could be Blanche's aunt.
And then, like, it's so funny because, like, while, like, Blanche is, like, unraveling, Dorothy and Lucas are giving each other, like, Eskimo kisses. And she's like, and now the ears. And they're, like, rubbing
Eskimo
ears.
Eskimo kisses are kind of gross because noses are oily.
Are they?
Of course.
Oh, like the skin, like your pores.
I don't want to rub my nose against your oily nose. I don't care how much I love you.
Yeah, I mean, is that?
It's gross.
Okay.
Blot it before you give me that Eskimo kiss.
That's fine. Just walk around with Biore strips.
I do have some in my bag.
And I did think it was strange that Dorothy basically like reclines on the couch and is making out with Lucas right in front of her mom.
I love it.
I was like, ugh.
Also, I love how the two of them decided, because, I mean, at this point, they're just doing this to get even. So she is committing. Like, Dorothy's comfort level is, like, now she's making out with a man to get back at Rose or Blanche.
Yeah.
Like, that takes commitment. I don't think I could do that.
Well, I mean, depends on...
Actually, I do think I could.
Depends on how much you want to get a rise out of your friend, you know? I was actually surprised that, like, for a long time, like, for a good majority of the scene, it was Blanche was the one who was freaking out, and Sophia was just sitting there, and I was like, it seems a little weird that Sophia is not, like, jumping up.
Yeah.
But then finally Blanche is like, you know, Sophia, don't you have any blah, blah, blah? Like, aren't you pissed that he didn't ask for your permission first or whatever? And Sophia gets up, and she sits down next to him, and she's like, I have two questions for you. Do you have any money? And he says, quite a bit. And she goes, is your mother still alive? And he goes, no. And then she puts her head on his shoulder and she goes, she is now. Sophia just wants to be comfortable.
Which, I mean, I'm all about it.
So then that night, Blanche and Rose and Sophia are sitting around talking about Dorothy getting married, because again, she still hasn't told them that they're joking.
Yeah.
And Blanche, it's so funny because Blanche says, she's like, that should be me closing out my last years at Hollingsworth Manor. And it's almost like, I know she's not saying that should be me marrying my uncle, but like, she doesn't say anything otherwise. So I was like, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Blanche maybe thought she was going to marry her uncle and continue to live out her years at Hollingsworth Manor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, that made me laugh.
I mean, it is kind of, I mean, like, how would she even get that? Her uncle clearly is around the same age as her. Like, you know, that's never going to happen for her.
Yeah, I wonder if she thought that maybe he would die and then she would get it. But now if he dies, Dorothy gets it. Oh, hi, Fraser. He just
he came and gave you some love.
Put his face against my ear. You giving me Eskimo ear kisses?
Now, that's see, Kitty's Eskimo kisses are different from human Eskimo kisses.
He's like, I can't lean back on the couch all the way because he's literally right behind my neck. Oh, you're a sweet boy. So there's a great part where, so then Rose tells the St. Olaf story. She's basically sad because she's like, you're all going to be a Hollingsworth and I won't, because Dorothy will be one. And then Sophia, you'll be a Hollingsworth in law. And then she tells a story about Mr. Snuffles, a pig that's not Henrietta. but as she starts telling the story, Sophia has a great line where she's like, Blanche, would you mind? You're closer to the knife drawer. I always love the reactions to when Rose starts telling a story.
Yeah. You remember when we wanted to catalog every Rose story and then we were like, no.
Oh yeah, we were gonna like make a book, like a picture book.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Someone could still do that.
Yeah. Just, you know, email us.
Yeah.
We'll help.
And then Blanche, and again, this is so crazy that these women are like stressed out having these conversations. Like Dorothy they just should have come clean. But I mean, Blanche tells
huge life conversations.
I know. Like she tells her, Blanche is basically like, Sophia, they're probably not going to want you there either. And Sophia's like, well, there's a fly in the Metamucil. Helps you poop. Yeah, like they're talking about life changing
huge things,
huge decisions.
Yeah. And it's affecting everybody. And I don't think Dorothy, I mean, they're clearly careless to Rose, really to Rose and Sophia.
Well, I feel like they knew they couldn't tell Rose about the plan because she blabs, although I feel like she could hold Sophia. But then, so Lucas and Dorothy, after they break this news, they go off and like hang out for a few hours and let the women.
What do you think they did?
Oh, I think he said that they went to like some sort of hardware store thing and it was very boring. And he's like, well, we'll tell them that we, oh God, he says the most not romantic thing on the planet. He's like, we could tell them that we went up to Lover's Lane and that we necked. I was like,
ew.
You're such an
old
man.
I've never necked in my life.
Necks
are like noses too.
But then it's really cute because Dorothy's like, well, if we did, my lipstick would be smudged. And Fraser just put his butthole on my phone. and he's like, well, we should smudge your makeup. And then they kiss and then they go inside. And then he's like, basically talking to Dorothy about Hollingsworth Manor, and he's like, you're right, we should take the columns down and it should be red bricked Cape Cod, which I don't, Cape Cod houses aren't red bricked, but that's fine. Lucas, you're just thinking on your toes off the top of your head.
And they don't know.
Yeah, sure. And then there's a great line where, so in Blanche is standing there like wide-eyed and Lucas is like, oh, Blanche, I didn't see you there. And she's like, oh, that's because you've been too busy Yankee doodling. And then Sophia comes in,
watching it. I didn't realize it until watching it just now, but it's kind of borderline cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
It's very Aunt Jemima.
Yeah.
That she's talking about a messin' or what? She's
saying, like, well, if it ain't the kinfolk. And she starts talking about making succotash and collard greens and stuff. And I'm just like, oh,
it's very much the, I mean, I think what conservatives in this country would call, oh, like the maid in Gone with the Wind. But let's be real, guys. she was a slave.
Yeah.
And it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. But now everybody's spiraling again, because when you make these, you know, giant announcements, like things that you literally have to, you know, talk about when you do your taxes, because TurboTax always asks you if you had any major life events that happened that year.
It's always depressing though, when they ask that and you didn't.
You didn't. Yeah. And Rose is like, so I'm moving in with my daughter, Kirsten. And I'm like, you guys are
ruining
now,
these women's lives.
Now Rose, now Kirsten is making arrangements on her end. And now Rose is going to have to be like, oh, JK, LOL, Dorothy was just messing around.
And then after all of this is settled, Blanche goes and fucks their lives over by buying a hotel. Sorry.
I mean, get it out. That's how you feel.
It's wrong. It was a bad decision, guys.
So now Rose is moving in with Kirsten, and Blanche is like, I'm going to be all alone. And she's all sad.
But also, don't they all own the house? Like,
yeah,
that's an awkward situation to put Blanche in.
Exactly. So now
Blanche has to buy out
Blanche
the rest?
Yeah, Blanche has to buy them out after she like did something that made her feel uncomfortable. But then, like, they're like, okay, well, we should tell her. But then Lucas makes a really good point, which he's like, this kind of went on for too long. And now if we just tell her it was all made up, she's going to get really mad.
Yeah.
So he's like, let's break up over dinner. And they're going to have a fight and break up over dinner. And Dorothy's like, okay. But then he's like, oh, but Dorothy, in all seriousness. And he gets like really, you know, like he gets real sweet. And he tells her that the past few days have been the lightest and brightest since Edna passed.
That's sweet.
His wife. And Blanche is eavesdropping, and wearing jeans, and Blanche,
she looks good.
Yeah, she does look good. Blanche sees the two of them kiss, and she kind of comes out, and she's like, has this like whole speech where she's like, I see a miracle from the bottom of my heart. Congratulations. Well, I love you both.
It's really sweet. It is sweet. It's like Blanche is realizing that she's being selfish and that she needs to allow love to grow with these two people. And in some way, maybe everyone saw the love that was there and they didn't even see it.
Well, yes. Also, there's a tiny, teeny, tiny part of me that, like, because now that Blanche has gone through this emotional roller coaster of like all the stages of grief, where now it's acceptance, and now they were like, they were gonna break up, but now Blanche is like, I approve of this union. Yeah. It's like, well, now you kind of have to get married, you know what I mean? Because now if you tell Blanche, it's going to be even worse. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they were kind of like, fuck it, we're old. I love you. I mean, I know that's not what it was. I think that they truly did fall in love over 3 days. But then, Lucas stands up and he's like, you know, Dorothy, will you marry me for real? And the audience goes, ooh, and then Dorothy says yes. And they kiss.
Dorothy, will you marry me for real, for real?
For real, for real. Oh. And then Sophia's like, is it my stroke or did they do this already?
I want to start saying that. But I've never had a stroke.
Right.
So that might be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe not. And then that's the end of the first part of the two parts.
It was a good episode.
Yeah.
I loved that last episode. But we have an exciting thing to look forward to on the next and last episode of...
I don't want to think about it.
Well, the last episode of recapping the Golden Girls.
Right.
Wait,
we got to do a golden takeaway first.
I know, but I really wanted to get excited about the paper, the toilet paper dress.
The toilet paper dress?
Because I actually like it. I like trashy things.
Mm.
So I would wear it.
Yeah, I think the cheese stands alone on this one.
Well, okay. My golden takeaway from this is wear tight jeans. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you got it, flaunt it, baby.
That's okay. That was fast. my golden takeaway is, you know, if you want to get revenge on your friends,
maybe just subscribe them to a magazine and don't tell them.
Yeah, do what you used to do to people. Like,
what I used to do? You mean what I still do?
Oh, I'm so sorry. What you do. Yeah. Subscribe them to a lot of things so they get a bunch of annoying emails and embarrassing things in the mail.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope my father's still getting Republican Party emails.
There you go.
Yeah. Michelle Bachmann doesn't email as much anymore, but I gotta find a new one. It's a good plan for revenge.
Yeah, it's a good
and guys,
plan for revenge.
That has been Out on the Lanai. As you know, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all the things, because if you're listening, you love us and you know it, and we love you and blah, blah, blah.
And we will be back.
Yeah.
For part two of One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest, which I'm very excited to cover.
And make sure you stay tuned for the very end of that episode, because I know a lot of times when we get to the golden takeaway, I've heard it from you guys. Don't worry, I don't shade you. I do it too sometimes. You stop listening because you know it's over. Don't stop listening for that episode, because it's a very important. And well, if you stop listening in this episode at this point, you won't know that. So maybe I'll say it at the beginning of the next episode.
Yeah.
But whatever. I'm just telling you now, don't stop listening, because we have a spot. Well, we have a moment at the end.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Should we eat our Chipotle now and then do record the second episode?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay.
Guys, I'm
Michelle
Scott.
And let's keep drinking. And I'm Carrie Doherty.
You can
I'm
follow on everything.
You guys know where we are.
Jews. A lot of Jews. Sadie. Yay. Okay. Bye, guys. And remember, as always,
stay golden.
Hi, I'm Erin.
And I'm Nicole.
And we're the hosts of the comedy podcast, Dude, That's Fucked Up.
Join us every Wednesday for an irreverent discussion on topics such as
light cannibalism, a la the Donner Party,
JFK's meth dependency,
cryptid fanfic,
and even pubes. It's available now on the Hoo Ha Ha Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to DTFUpodcast.com for more information.
You know what's not fucked up?
This podcast, you butthole.
This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.